Hi, this is Dr. Diane Heineman, publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine and the soon-to-be-released book, Essential Remedies for Women's Health, which is going to be an amazing collaboration of 12 local natural health practitioners in Connecticut, and we expect the book out probably mid to end of April. And I have, as one of the chapter authors that I'm interviewing today, Dr. Frank Haidia. He is a board-certified and licensed naturopathic physician with over a decade of clinical experience. He maintains a private practice in West Hartford, Connecticut, where he specializes in treating acute and chronic illnesses through the use of all-natural, non-toxic modalities, including clinical nutrition, botanical medicine, physical medicine, acupuncture, and natural hormone balancing. Dr. Aida's website is draaida.com. You can also follow him on Facebook at www.facebook.com/draaida. That's D-R-A-I-E-T-A. To learn more about his practice or read more of his articles that pertain to naturally achieving and maintaining optimal health. And he is talking to us today about adrenal fatigue, and he has a great chapter on that. In this new book, we're not going to be able to cover everything he talks about today because we just have a short amount of time, but we'll get through a lot of the basics, and then certainly you can get more information from him and buy the book if you want to learn more. So thanks for being with us today. Frank, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. So adrenal fatigue, huge topic.
Yeah,
to cover in 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's a big topic, definitely, without a doubt.
Yes. So I thought we'd start by having you just give us an intro to what really does that term mean and what you think some of the common causes are.
Okay. Well, before we even get into the whole adrenal fatigue, I think we need to really discuss what the adrenal glands do in the body and, you know, kind of discuss the life-sustaining hormones that they secrete. Now, the adrenal glands are two small glands that sit on top of each of our kidneys, and they produce steroid hormones that really significantly affect the function of every tissue, organ, and gland in our body. You know, these hormones have important effects on the way that we think and feel, so they're definitely extremely important to life, to say the least. Now, adrenal fatigue syndrome occurs when your adrenal glands cannot adequately meet the demands of stress. And the adrenal glands enable your body to respond to every type of stress, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, and through these steroid hormones that actually regulate energy production and storage, your heart rate, blood sugar balance, muscle tone, and other processes that help us actually deal and cope with stress. So in adrenal fatigue syndrome, your adrenal glands function, but not enough to really maintain your normal, healthy balance. Their output of hormones may have diminished by, you know, an overstimulation from excessive stresses. Now, this overstimulation can be caused either by, you know, a very intense single stress incident or by chronic or repeated stresses that have more of a cumulative type of effect. So, you know, just a, you know, a couple examples of just stressors on the body. You know, things that we deal with on a daily basis. You know, we have chemicals, environmental toxins. For certain people, those can be major stressors. We have, you know, psychological stressors. A death of a loved one, that's a huge, huge type of stress. We have food or environmental allergies, dietary shortcomings, lack of sleep, financial stressors. I mean, I can go on and on with the list of things that can contribute. So anything that's, you know, considered stressful, that's more chronic, that continues on, and there's never, you know, doesn't seem to be a break in it. Or, like I said, it could be just one enormous stress. You know, a death of a loved one can put you into this state of adrenal fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, stress is such a huge thing these days. Pretty much, you know, everybody's dealing with something on some level. Like you mentioned, it could be psychological or health-related or yep. environmental or whatnot. It's you know, and it's really, I think, the beginning of the underlying causes for a lot of different chronic diseases, not just adrenal fatigue.
Oh, absolutely. And then the problem is that with adrenal fatigue comes these other diseases. It sets you up for these other types of issues, which we'll obviously talk about some of the other types of diseases that can occur, you know, from autoimmune diseases to cancer. You know, it's this whole breakdown in this whole system that allows us to deal with stress in an appropriate manner. When we don't have that ability, you know, our defenses are down, our wall is down there.
Right, right. So for somebody who is thinking they might be, you know, dealing with this type of situation, what are some of the stages or common symptoms that people should be aware of?
Okay, so with adrenal fatigue or any type, or your body's adaptation to stress, there's basically three phases that the body goes through as it kind of deals with stress, and I'll briefly talk about each one and some of the symptoms that are seen in each one. So first off, we'll start with what's called the alarm phase. Now this occurs when an individual first encounters stress, and the body responds by something called a fight or flight response, in which the hormones cortisol and adrenaline are released in abundance by the adrenal gland. And this is kind of our body's natural initial reaction to any type of stressor or threat. But when that stressor becomes more frequent, the person can kind of go in and out of this phase. And so in between bursts, the body goes through periods of brief recovery. So during this period of recovery, the person may experience their first little taste of adrenal fatigue. Now, most patients I find that are in this phase don't even realize that they look and feel fine for the most part, but find themselves, resorting to that extra cup of coffee, that sugary snack, that kind of pick-me-up, during that recovery period. Or they may, in between the recovery period and then when they have this alarm phase, they may feel more edgy or anxious and kind of revved up feeling. Now, they've done animal studies, and they've shown that, animals in this prolonged alarm reaction phase, it's associated with, initial weight loss. And how people will usually say, I've been under so much stress, I've been losing weight because I'm stressed out. In animal studies, they show that, gastric ulcers can occur, suppression, initial suppression of the immune system, so a person's resistance starts to come down. So that happens right off the rip. And now the second phase of the body's adaptation to stress is something called the resistance phase. Now in this second phase, the person is still kind of reacting to stresses that are generated by life, and the demand for the chronic stress hormone cortisol really starts to increase dramatically. So in the alarm, we have this initial reaction with adrenaline and some cortisol, and then with the resistance phase, the body kind of goes into this more of a need for this chronic stress hormone called cortisol. So instead of seeing the initial possible weight loss that accompanies the alarm phase, a lot of times we see weight gain become more apparent in this phase due to the high levels of this stress hormone cortisol. So and then there's this further progression of immune suppression that can lead to more frequent infections. It can lead to allergy symptoms, arthritis, and possible development of autoimmune diseases. Now, there's a whole slew of other conditions that can also arise due to this chronic elevation in stress hormones. And it can be, a person can exhibit signs and symptoms of depression, high blood pressure, insulin resistance, diabetes, prediabetes, PMS symptoms, atherosclerosis, and other degenerative diseases. Also, during this phase, I will typically find that patients' cholesterol levels will go up, which is, kind of interesting because all the hormones that are actually produced by the adrenal gland are all derived from cholesterol. So there's an increase in stress hormones, so naturally we're going to see a rise in the raw material that the body needs to make those stress hormones, which is cholesterol. And, so if you go to your conventional doctor and you're in this particular phase and the doctor notices that you have elevations in cholesterol, they may just put you on a drug that will lower cholesterol, like a statin drug, but that can actually worsen the adrenal issue because now, and it can drive you into the third phase, which we're going to be talking about in a minute, which is the exhaustion phase or the burnout phase. Because now you're taking away that raw material, that cholesterol that the body so necessarily needs to make these hormones. So one of the other things that I see is that elevated cortisol can lead to major sugar cravings, which typically accompany stress and can, you know, further exacerbate all the conditions that I just mentioned, you know, the diabetes, the prediabetes, and whatnot. And so this phase, I find, you know, this is the phase that I'll catch a lot of people in, and the person can kind of remain in this phase for, you know, months to years before they finally kind of cross over into the third and kind of final stage, which is considered, you know, the burnout stage or exhaustion phase. Now, this is like the true adrenal fatigue phase. And these are the people that are, you know, trucking along, burning the candle at both ends and pushing through on this pure stress hormone until they simply crash. You know, these are the patients that come in, you know, with the following complaints. You know, they come in and they say, you know, I'm having hard time getting out of bed in the morning. You know, I sleep 9-10 hours and I'm waking up, I'm still feeling unrefreshed, like I can just stay there. They may say that they, you know, even doing the most, you know, mundane chores and everything seems like such a hassle. You know, they're even doing things that they really enjoyed previously, they find it a chore. They don't get enjoyment out of it anymore. They may complain of brain fog, lightheadedness at times. You know, now they transition over to more severe sugar craving and craving, you know, stimulants just to kind of get things going. So, you know, this is when the hormones go from being elevated to just kind of crashing, you know. And oftentimes, patients will present, you know, in this phase, they'll finally, you know, go to their conventional doctor. A lot of times they'll get misdiagnosed. They'll be diagnosed as having, you know, a generalized anxiety disorder or depression because of, you know, based upon their lack of motivation or fatigue. And a lot of times they'll be treated inappropriately. You know, they'll be given anxiety medication. They'll be given a antidepressant, which, you know, rarely helps, and in some cases can, you know, make the person's overall symptoms worse.
One thing I just wanted to touch on really quickly is that I think there's a lot of confusion still around, and we could probably, you know, have hours more discussion on it, is the whole high cholesterol thing. And,
yeah,
you know, the understanding, yeah, we've run lots of articles in National Nutmeg about it for sure, so hopefully we're getting some education out there. But it's the understanding that high cholesterol, like you said, and maybe I'll just have you explain that again, cholesterol is the precursor to all these other hormones. So
yeah, I mean, even, you know, in the chapter, you know, I include a little diagram, and I talk about, and it shows like the adrenal cascade of, you know, all the hormones that are produced by the adrenal gland. And the first molecule at the top of the chain is cholesterol. And
right,
that cholesterol is a vital component to producing the hormones cortisol and pregnenolone and DHEA, and then all the female hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, you know. And so, you know, without cholesterol, you know, we're depleting that whole system. And so when we look at cholesterol, you know, we have to see, okay, well, why is this cholesterol going up? What's going on in the body? Is it a true, you know, cholesterol problem where the person has a genetic predisposition to elevated cholesterol, or is it more of a functional issue where the person is making more cholesterol because of an increased need to make hormones to deal with stress or deal with inflammation in the body? I mean, I can tell you honestly, when I was, prior to going to medical school, you know, I did a physical exam and had my blood levels checked, my cholesterol, and everything looked great. 2 years into stress of medical school, my cholesterol skyrocketed. And, you know, and that was a normal, I was knowledgeable enough to know that, okay, this is not a problematic thing. This is a normal occurrence. This is what's getting me through right now. And then after I graduated, you know, 4 years later, you know, things kind of calmed down. I, you know, had some blood work run again, and everything looked normal. So, you know, cholesterol is kind of a dynamic thing. You're going to see ups and downs. You're not going to always see the same number. I can check someone's cholesterol on a Monday and check them on a Friday, and their numbers will deviate by 5 to even up to 20 points, you know, so depending upon what's going on with the person. So it's not all the the harmfulness that they're, that the conventional media is making it out to be in the conventional doctors. So, yeah.
Right, yeah. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that still think, well, you know, I need to go, oh, my cholesterol's high, I guess I got to go on a drug.
there's a lot of other options.
Yeah.
You know, there's nutritional things that can be done. There's supplements that actually can encourage the body to utilize that cholesterol better. So instead of poisoning the liver's production of that particular cholesterol, or, you know, when you take a statin drug, it poisons an enzyme responsible for forming cholesterol. There's nutrients that can be utilized to encourage the body to shunt that cholesterol more towards producing adrenal hormones and so forth. So, you know, I get great success with patients just by introducing a lot of those things in.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about what kind of testing you do to determine, you know, whether this is truly adrenal fatigue or what stage a person might be in.
Okay, well, you know, I find that the absolute best way to really determine a diagnosis is through proper history taking and physical exam first and foremost. You know, as a physician, as a naturopathic physician, I spend a lot of time with my patients. You know, I'll go through a long checklist of symptoms commonly seen in patients with adrenal fatigue. And if the patient admits to having a majority of them, I can pretty confidently diagnose the patient right then and there. But I will also run laboratory tests to confirm my diagnosis and kind of, you know, establish maybe to see what phase that person is in. You know, are they still in the resistance phase or have they crossed over to the exhaustion phase? You know, sometimes the symptoms can get a little cloudy, so sometimes testing is you know, the way to kind of pull it all together. I always tell patients, listen, at their initial visit, you know, I take a good history, a physical, and I say, listen, I got half the story from you today. The other half is going to come when you come back and see me in a couple weeks, and I have your lab work in front of me. And then I'll have pretty much the whole picture. And then based upon what I gathered at our first visit and the lab work, then I can kind of put together a treatment plan that's very specific for them. You know, there's going to be a lot of overlap, you know, amongst patients, but, you know, we're going to really be very specific, unlike a lot of the conventional treatments, you know, just kind of a generic treatment for this. You know, you have a symptom, here's a drug. You have this, here's a drug. As a naturopathic physician, I individualize every treatment plan, you know, from what I'm going to tell them as far as diet and as far as what their lifestyle is going to be, you know, their exercise plan, and also their dietary supplements. So, you know, I'll typically start when I do some testing, I'll start with a simple blood test. And, you know, we'll take a look at certain hormone levels. We'll look at cortisol. We'll look at DHEA. We'll look at pregnenolone. These are the core adrenal hormones. And we'll see where they are. And typically we like to run those early in the morning. That's when the adrenals are at their peak, around 8 o'clock in the morning. But I will also run some saliva testing, which gives us a whole other spin on looking at the hormones, because, you know, with blood testing, it can be a little inconvenient. You know, we want to, you know, these hormones will fluctuate throughout the day. They're all based upon what's called a circadian rhythm, highest in the morning, lowest at night, and then they kind of take a turn back up. So with saliva testing, it gives us a little bit more freedom. You know, I mean, we can have patients go at 8 o'clock, collect their saliva at 8 o'clock in the morning without even leaving their house. They can do it at noontime. They can do it in mid-afternoon. They can do it in the evening, opposed to, you know, getting a blood test four times a day. It's a little inconvenient. I'm not going to have my patients camp out at the draw station all day and have their blood drawn. So, you know, they wouldn't like me too much. So on the other side, you know, I can give them a kit with some collection tubes, and they can go ahead and collect their saliva, and so it works out really, really, really nice. And so, you know, these tests, especially the saliva tests, they jive really, really closely with the person's clinical signs and symptoms, which is really nice. And so, with this information, I can kind of go from there with confidence and say, okay, this is, I feel, the right treatment for what's going on with you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's definitely more convenient, like you said. than having to have, you know, 50 million blood draws.
The timing is great. So you can, and when you get the testing back, you know, they plot it on like a, you know, a curve so you can see where the person's, you know, out of range or in range and whatnot, and then just interpret it from there. It's really nice.
Right, yeah, versus just sort of like one point in time, which is what you're basically getting.
Yes, exactly, like a spot check in time.
So let's talk about what your recommendations are. I mean, what dietary, obviously there's diet and lifestyle changes you're going to recommend, and then we can talk about supplementation and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I find that, you know, the best dietary recommendations that I can make for a patient that is suffering from adrenal fatigue is to, you know, to really eliminate adrenal stimulants and stressors. And that comes from excessive carbohydrates and sugar in the diet, processed foods, and other adrenal stimulants like caffeine, nicotine, artificial sweeteners. Now, these foods can really wreak havoc on the adrenal glands, forcing them to respond when the adrenal glands are really on their last leg. Every time we take in sugar into our diet, we get a big spike in blood sugar, and it's usually followed by a big drop. And every time that blood sugar drops, the adrenal glands have to respond. That's one of the roles of the adrenal glands, is to help regulate our blood sugar when it's on the downslide. Now, this is fine if this happens a few times throughout the day. The body secretes cortisol. It brings that blood sugar back up, and no harm, no foul. But if your adrenal glands are not performing that job adequately, now the person's going to be running, their blood sugar is going to be constantly in that limbo land. It's going to be in the low end, and the person can exhibit symptoms of hypoglycemia, or he gets the fatigue, lack of motivation, we get the brain fogginess. So the body then has to overreact by secreting adrenaline, which leads to more anxiety and hypoglycemic symptoms. So I really, really encourage a diet based on real whole foods that is high in real natural fats, moderate in protein, and low in carbohydrates. I think that's the optimal diet for treating someone with adrenal fatigue. And what I stress the most is the quality fats in the diet. And I find that those are really of prime importance, you know, getting back to the whole cholesterol thing, because it's going to provide you with the raw material that the body needs for all of these adrenal steroid hormones. And we're talking about real fats in the diet. We're talking about eating avocados. We're talking about olive oil. We're talking about nuts and seeds. We're talking about coconut oil and, you know, just real natural fats, fish oils and fattier fish and grass-fed meats and so forth. So, you know, good quality foods. So a good example of...
I just want to point something out, which, interestingly enough, is what people might think they need to stay away from if they have high cholesterol.
Exactly. So, you know, what actually drives the whole cholesterol phenomenon a lot of times is when patients take in more carbohydrates than what their body can burn. So if someone takes in more carbs than what their cells can utilize, it's considered excess. So the body will send that excess sugar to the liver, and the liver actually converts sugar over to fats in the form of cholesterol and triglycerides, and those triglycerides ultimately are stored in body fat. So it's pretty interesting where, you know, eating dietary fat in the body, let's say you overconsume dietary fat, your body considers it excess and will actually convert that dietary fat to sugar. And then that sugar, if it's not burned, will then get converted to body fat. So before your body takes dietary fat and turns it into body fat or turns it into cholesterol or triglycerides, it turns it into sugar first. So sugar ultimately, or carbohydrates, excessively high carbohydrates, more than what our body can utilize, is really the problem. Okay, it's not the fat in the diet. So a good example of a specific diet that would be one that I recommend would be more of like a Paleolithic or a paleo type of diet, which, you know, and this is, you know, it's very popular right now. There's countless books out on the subject of, you know, eating Paleolithic. And in my practice, I provide my patients with like a 50-page handout discussing this type of diet in detail, down to shopping lists and meal plans and, you know, things to really get them on the path to recovery, you know. So as far as lifestyle changes, the most important thing is, you know, moderating the stress that the person is going through, and, you know, getting adequate sleep, getting the patient to kind of remove themselves from those chronic stressful situations if it's possible. I mean, and that can be the hardest thing to do. I mean, that's my job, that makes it the hardest. I can modulate people's diet. I can put them on supplements, but, you know, if they're, every day they wake up and they go to a job that they hate, and that's driving them, you know, giving them stress, you know, there's not much, you know, that makes it hard for them to, you know, move forward. So,
yeah.
The lifestyle, you know, like, stuff situation is definitely the obstacle to cure.
Like anything else, you can give them, you know, meal plans and supplements, but that doesn't mean they're going to follow it. And so
exactly.
I think that, you know, it really comes down to, you know, what are people's priorities in life?
Absolutely.
And number one, if you've got to make the decision that eating, you know, first of all, it's a lifestyle, the way that you eat and exercise and how you
yep.
manage stress, it's all about changing your lifestyle, and you have to make that a priority. And I
Absolutely.
Think that, you know, yeah, somebody might be in a job they hate, but is there a way, that, well, I guess first would be, is there a way that they can get out of it and do something that they're more passionate about? And
Absolutely.
That is probably easier than most people think it is. They just have to be
oh, yeah.
creative about, you know, how
that's
to
make things. That's what it comes down to. They need someone to kind of push them in that direction. I do, you know, I do a lot of counseling with my patients, and those are some of the things that we talk about. You know, it's not just patient coming in and I'm telling them to change their diet. And this, you know, I'm kind of working through a lot of these things because, I felt, like I said, those are huge obstacles to cure. Until we can kind of move past those, you know, it's hard to get the person better, you know. So
right.
That's what's truly a holistic approach to healing, is to look at all of these things, you know. You know, people may be under a misconception, okay, I'm going to go to this naturopathic physician, and instead of him giving me a drug, he's just going to give me an herb or a nutrient. Well, that may be the case. Yes, I'm not going to give you a drug. I'm going to give you something, you know, that's going to work more with the body. But we need to look at and encompass the whole person, you know, and that's what holistic medicine really is, in contrast to conventional medicine. There's no quick fix. You know, that's
right.
the reality of it, you know. Of course, you know, I'm going to do things to get the person out of, you know, over crisis and do things that will palliate and will improve their symptomatology, but ultimately, we were trying to, you know, my goal with every patient that I see is to uncover the root cause and really address it and not just kind of patch the person up or just simply deal with symptoms. You know, just like how I stated earlier, you know, a patient will go to their doctor and complain of all these symptoms and, you know, they'll get a diagnosis of depression and then they're put on a depression medication. Well, that didn't change their lifestyle. It didn't change their diet. It didn't supplement them with the proper nutrients, and it didn't change their situation. It maybe helped them to cope with it or just maybe numb them out so that they didn't care. But it's definitely, you know, more complex than just one thing, you know.
Right. And also, I think everybody needs to remember that they didn't get to that point overnight. So
it's
really unrealistic to think. I mean, it's nice to wish for the magic pill.
But we're,
you know,
we're in a society of quick fix. We want the instant
yep.
gratification. And that's one of the hardest things for me is to, you know, to kind of portray that to people, you know. And the longer they work with me, they kind of get it, you know, that this is not, you know, they've been dealing with something for 15 years. It's not going to go away in a couple of days. Definitely not.
Right, right. And one thing I want to ask, actually, because certainly some of the chapters that, you know, that we talk about or different chronic diseases, there's like a backing out of the phase where people might actually feel a little bit worse before they start to feel better. So do you find that sometimes?
Well,
you know,
sometimes. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, when you're shifting someone's diet, so I'll give you a good example. You know, I talk about, you know, cutting down the carbohydrates and, you know, higher fats, moderate protein. And, you know, when you're taking someone off of sugar and carbohydrates, which they are, you know, at some point they'll get addicted to. I mean, they're using that as their crutch to kind of give them a boost of energy or caffeine or what. They're going to go through some degree of withdrawal. So there may be, and typically it's like the first week, you know, but I use different herbs and I do use different nutrients to kind of mitigate those, the effects of this withdrawal and whatnot. You know, so there's a great supplement that I'll use with patients called glutamine. And I use glutamine in between meals to kind of help stabilize their blood sugar as they're trying to basically shift their metabolism away from relying upon carbohydrates and moving them more towards burning dietary and body fat, which gives us more sustainable energy over a period of time. Whereas when you're eating lots of carbohydrates, it's choppy. You're going up and down, up and down. And unless you have a really strong adrenal system to kind of catch you when you're falling, you're going to crash more often than not. So just taking that out of the equation, getting away from all of those, you know, those carbohydrates, the person will go through a week or two of withdrawal, and they may feel temporarily worse, but ultimately, it's life-changing. You know, they feel so much better once they've kind of transitioned away from that previous diet and lifestyle plan that they had before. So, yeah, absolutely. They go through a little bit of a, we'll call it a healing crisis, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a bump. A little bump in the road.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, so that's why, you know, it's funny because, you know, I see patients the initial visit and then I'll see them again, you know, 2 weeks later. And, you know, one of the reasons why is because, you know, it takes about 2 weeks to get the blood work back, but it takes about 2 weeks to transition their metabolism over. And so by the time they come in to see me after 2 weeks, they're done swearing about me and yelling about me because they feel better, you know. But in those 2 weeks, if I caught them, like, you know, maybe a week after, they, you know, they probably wouldn't be too happy because they're kind of, they're withdrawing. It's like, you know, sugar and carbohydrates and so forth are just as addictive as drugs. So it's like taking a drug addict off of drugs and they go through this withdrawal. So absolutely. So yeah, by the time they come to see me after 2 weeks, they're doing pretty good. I mean, they're over the big hump and they're ready to get even better. So yeah, it's really a good thing.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, those things being as addictive, it's no wonder to me that some of the big processed food manufacturers haven't figured that out, and they create products that basically are addictive to people.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, the whole agriculture industry. You know, if you look back at the old food pyramid, you know, the base of the food pyramid was riddled with carbohydrates and so forth and grain products. And all those foods are really addictive. So, you know, it's good for the food industry. Yeah, they want you to be addicted to food. They want you to eat every 2 to 3 hours, you know, on the dot. You know, you can't make it past that because, you know, I use the analogy that, you know, I your body's like a furnace. Or like a campfire, and if you're eating lots of those starches and carbohydrates, it's like throwing sticks and twigs on that fire. It burns really quickly, but then it goes out, you know, and so we're constantly a slave. We're a slave to eating those types of foods multiple times throughout the day, and we just never get ahead, you know, and so that's one of the things I like to break that cycle, you know, and, you know, that's that whole process, that diet, that, you know, standard American diet is what's leading people towards this adrenal fatigue syndrome and every other type of chronic illness, you know, so.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think almost every teleconference I've done where I've interviewed each of the authors of all these different chapters, everyone, if we're talking about a chronic disease and we're talking about, you know, nutrition and things like that, everyone's saying the same thing. I mean, literally, you know, the same exact recommendations for diet and the issues with processed food and whatnot. So it's not, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm hearing it again.
That's what we're seeing is that the people in the holistic community get it. And it's like, when are the people in the conventional and, you know, the standard media and, you know, our conventional doctors, when are they going to get it? You know, we're seeing, you know, huge rises in all of these chronic diseases. You know, if we just went back to how our ancestors ate, and that's kind of why I promote more of like a Paleolithic ancestral type of diet with all of my patients, because, you know, we've moved so far away from that towards these convenience foods and processed foods and cheap foods. And, you know, basically what we're doing is and part of it is because there's so many people on the planet that we need to feed people cheaply. You know, in grain products and processed food, these are all cheap calories. when, you know, when you can go to McDonald's and get a, and buy, you know, a couple hamburgers and a french fries, and that's cheaper than buying, you know, a head of lettuce or, you know, some peppers and, you know, some vegetables, then you know there's a problem there, you know, where real food costs substantially more than, you know, basically manufactured food.
It does, but there's also not a lot of money in healthy living and healthy people.
Exactly.
There's more money in disease, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, there's way more money in disease care and so forth. Yeah, I mean that's what we call it. It's not healthcare, it's disease care. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So we digress, but we'll circle back. I wanna talk about your recommendations for some of the natural treatments for adrenal fatigue, and I wanna preface this up by saying I think that, you know, with this type of the scenario that we're talking about, I think we're not giving people these recommendations so they can go out on their own and do it. They definitely should be working the qualified, you know, natural.
Yeah, I mean, I give certain recommendations in the book, and they're more generic because, you know, just to kind of give an example of things that are out there. But, you know, it's, once again, it's individualized. You know, we have to individualize the treatment. So everyone's different, everyone's an individual, and, you know, by really analyzing, you know, that person's, you know, proper history, physical exam, getting the blood work done, getting the lab testing done, then I can kind of individualize it. But, you know, there's natural supplements, you know, botanical medicines, nutritional supplements, and, you know, natural hormone replacement that can be, you know, extremely helpful in the recovery from adrenal fatigue. But, you know, they're no way a substitute for a good diet and lifestyle changes or, you know, taking the person, you know, out of that chronic stressful situation. You know, but I do find that, you know, natural supplements can be crucial in helping the person, you know, start feeling better overall and supplying them with the energy that they need to kind of implement a lot of the diet and lifestyle change. You know, patient comes in and they're exhausted and you tell them that you want them to kind of revamp and change their whole diet, and they're like, they're so tired they can't even think of that. You know, think about doing anything like that. Just thinking about that, their head's going to pop off. But, you know, so depending upon, you know, the stage of that adrenal fatigue that the person is presenting with, you know, that will oftentimes dictate the treatment I may recommend. So, you know, for example, patients that are, you know, more in the resistance phase of adrenal fatigue or like the second phase, you know, when they're producing lots and lots of stress hormones, I may do some things to kind of calm down those stress hormones. You know, and this is where, you know, meditation and, you know, relaxing type of exercise and stuff comes into play as well. But, you know, one of my favorite herbs that I'll use is an herb called ashwagandha. And I talk, you know, more about this in the chapter. And this is, you know, this is for people that are have this, you know, almost wired and tired feeling, you know, and ashwagandha is very calming and relaxing and nourishing. It's called an adaptogen, or so it kind of helps your body adapt to stress. And, you know, then there's patients that are, you know, more in the exhaustion phase, and I may resort to more aggressive treatments, like we may need to go to use some natural bioidentical adrenal hormone replacement, you know. So we, you know, some of the hormones we may replace are, you know, we may replace some cortisol with, you know, natural-based cortisol from plants, DHEA, pregnenolone. These are all, you know, some of the precursor hormones that are found in the adrenal cascade, all derived from cholesterol. And so we may temporarily replace some of these, you know, and this is usually kind of a temporary solution. And it, you know, it gives patients a lot of quick symptomatic relief while they're working on, you know, some of the underlying causes, you know, changing their diet, changing their lifestyle, you know, stress management, and so forth. And then, you know, there's a lot of good vitamins that are, you know, that can be utilized to kind of repair and regenerate the adrenals, you know, help them recover. Three in particular that I really love are, you know, high dosages of vitamin C. Vitamin C concentrated very heavily in the adrenal gland. B5 or canthocyanic acid, crucial for helping the body utilize that cholesterol and form a lot of these steroid hormones. And magnesium is another big one. that people will require when they have this adrenal issue going on. They tend to lose a lot of magnesium. And typically, magnesium is one of the most important nutrients. It's responsible for something like 400 different enzymatic processes in the body, and it's one of the most deficient nutrients I find in my practice. And one of the reasons why is that every time we ingest sugar or processed foods, and first of all, processed foods are very void of magnesium, we end up losing a lot of magnesium too. So I think these are crucial in aiding the adrenal glands, to get it to start producing those hormones again and, getting the person to start feeling better. So, the supplements are really a good thing, but they're not the only thing. I'm not going to ever just put someone on stuff and then never tell them about the diet, the lifestyle, or anything like that, because they're not going to get anywhere. And they're just going to be using it as a crutch forever, and they'll never be able to progress any further. As long as they're taking it, they'll feel decent. They may not feel 100%, they'll feel better, but we always have to do the background work, and that's what I explain to a lot of my patients, is that, listen, we're going to do this, but, you have to, hold up your end of the bargain by doing all the background stuff, so that's the big thing.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense, and like I said, it's just people have to make their health a priority by...
Absolutely.
Making different changes in not only what they're eating, but exercise and their stress level and all of that.
Exercise is one of those areas where, exercise is extremely important, but then I have some patients that they will over-exercise to compensate for a poor diet. And so these people, when they over-exercise, that can be a huge adrenal stress, and that can actually push them into adrenal fatigue. Just, they think they're doing a good thing. They're, I'm working out every day. I'm, doing twice a day. And, I ask them, well, how do you feel after you exercise? Do you feel revitalized? Do you feel good? And, a lot of times they'll tell me, I feel exhausted. Like, I can go take a nap. Well, that's not good. What are you doing? That's counterproductive. And, a lot of times then you talk to them about, their diet, and their diet's atrocious. But, they're compensating, with exercise for a terrible diet. So, that's one of the big conversations that I have with patients. In some instances, patients will come in, I tell them that they should stop exercising for a little bit and do more gentle things. Do some yoga, do some Tai Chi, some meditation, do some stretching, go for a walk, to your, capacity. And some of the rules that I tell them is, listen, get you tired to exercise for that day, take the day off. If you feel worse after you exercise, you did too much. You need to reevaluate what you're doing as far as exercise. Not everyone should be getting out, being a marathon runner. You got to build up to that, So, that's one of the big things as far as lifestyle stuff that I like to talk to patients about. So, you have to look at it like, look at your body like a three-legged stool. If you're doing one thing too much, that long, one of the legs is longer than the other, the stool's going to fall over. So you need to kind of balance all three out. Diet, lifestyle, supplementation, exercise. It all has to be balanced out. You can't be doing one thing more than the others to compensate, because it's eventually going to fall over.
Yeah, and honestly, it doesn't compensate. I think people are starting to understand this more, but you really can't exercise enough to compensate for a terrible diet. It's impossible to exercise that many calories off. So, it's like 90% diet and 10% exercise.
that's what I write, in one of my diet handouts. I say that to patients, it's like, 80-90% diet, you're absolutely right, and the rest is from exercise. Yeah, because, it's one thing, you can burn off calories, but you can't burn off the effects that those foods are having on your cells and so forth. So every time you eat lots of carbohydrates and sugar, it causes your body to release lots of this hormone insulin. So, yes, you can exercise and you can burn off those carbs, but you're not going to burn off the effects of that insulin on your cells and on the body. So that's one of the things, that I really, really stress, because I see it all the time, patients, horrendous diet, but they're, working out like a champ, but they're not healthy.
Right.
And that's apparent in their blood work. That's apparent in all the symptoms that they come in with. You know, they think they're healthy because they're exercising, but quite the contrary. You wouldn't be in my office if you were feeling great. You know, you wouldn't
right.
eat. So.
Yeah. And it is counterintuitive, but I mean, if you look at any of the research on over-exercising, I mean, it has effects on everything from increasing your cortisol, which you certainly don't want that with adrenal fatigue, to immune
yep.
system dysfunction, and you know, even people who are doing marathons and things like that. I mean, a lot of them end up getting sick after their
Absolutely.
Races and whatnot. So that could be a personal goal if it's something that you want to do, but you shouldn't be, you know, exercising that amount to try to lose weight or
yes,
even
exactly.
think that it's going to make you healthier. Because it doesn't.
So that's one of the, you know, one of the big things that I, you know, I see that a lot in my practice, you know, patients coming in with exactly that, you know. And I'm all for the effort, you know, if you're going to run a marathon, you know, the personal challenge and whatnot, but, you know, you have to balance everything out. You have to.
Right. That's so true.
Yep.
So, you know, as we said, we've really just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg, and I'm sure that people are going to be, you know, interested in learning more. They can definitely purchase the book directly from you. And how do you want people to get a hold of you? You know, through a website or email or
yeah, you can. You know, you can. I can be reached. You know, they can call my office. You know, my office's number is 860-232-9662. All my information is on my website. It's drarieta.com. drarieta.com. And so there's plenty of information up there. I do a whole big video I have up there all about adrenal fatigue as well. If you want to learn more on that, I've done a lot of different articles too on other health topics. So yeah, that's how people can get a hold of me, definitely.
Yep.
And I'm pretty active, you know, posting different things on my business Facebook page that people really enjoy, and I can answer a lot of questions on there that people may have. So I'm pretty accessible that way, too.
Okay. Sounds great. So thank you so much for all the information. It's a great call. And
Absolutely.
We'll look forward to the new book coming out. We're looking at probably the third week in April, so everybody's very excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay, well, thanks, Frank, and you have a great day today.
All right. Thank you so much.